This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, TK.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
Woo.
This is one for the books.
This is one for the books. If you're hoping to find out a lot about this documentary,
watch the documentary.
I don't know that you're going to find a lot of facts and figures here.
Nope.
But we do talk about Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about unicycles.
Yeah. And
breasts a little bit.
And lack thereof.
Yeah. Shirtlessness.
Yeah, shirtlessness. And and then there's also, you know, it takes an odd twist, this episode.
You know what I'll say? It takes a poignant point.
And maybe you're like, is this the point? If you're thinking that, it's not the point.
This isn't the point. You'll know it when you're listening. You'll be like, whoa, these two took a turn.
Yeah.
A good turn. It's a sweet turn.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's a really good episode.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to get to it?
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Man on Wire.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Has the show started? Cheryl, our show started.
our show has started and we're just sitting here like, dead air.
Just staring at each other.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had COVID, but I don't have COVID.
Have you had it yet?
I haven't had it yet. Hmm. No, I've played it pretty safe. I know a lot of people play it safe and still get it, but
there's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, I mean, there's some rhyme and some reason, but there is some way to know.
There is in this particular case, there is some way to know. Well, I mean, you feel like it's you sound like you're like 85%.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say 85. Well, thank you.
You sound like you're 85.
I came home from Houston and I had a terrible headache and congestion and was exhausted. My teeth hurt.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, and my father-in-law lives with us and he has COVID and I was just thinking, well,
I got it.
Yeah. And Stephanie just had it and I was, here we go.
Here we go. You're still,
we know how I do with, big medical issues.
Illnesses.
So this should be no big deal. But I took a PCR test and two rapid tests and negative.
Okay.
I was stunned, but I was still.
It was stunning.
I was truly.
You were ready.
I was ready. I was ready to make my big celebrity announcement. I have COVID and it'll be splashed all over the news feeds that, of course, I wouldn't read because. You know, you'd have to tell me that I'm on the front cover of everything because that's...
Is it still making news when a celebrity gets COVID?
No.
I think in their minds it is. They still tweet about it or Instagram about it. It's like, okay, we've all had it. So you're going to be okay.
We've all had it except for Tig.
Yeah, except for
but
Tig.
But yeah, I was ready for my big announcement. But
I
just have a cold.
That's not newsworthy.
No.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to, you know, talk about some crazy Frenchmen? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I just want to say, I was on Instagram reading our Tig and Cheryl.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you getting distracted?
I know. I ask you if you're ready to get into it. And then,
she wanders off. She wanders off into the forest.
It was so sweet. All of our listeners on Instagram just sending you really sweet messages about
Cowboy Rick.
Rick. And oh, it's just, it really just made me.
I honestly haven't looked.
Oh, well, but do it.
I don't doubt that they were there beyond.
You have no idea.
Yeah, that's so kind. I'll have to check that out. I've been a little
busy, distracted. Yeah,
nosediving and then coming up and nosediving.
Yeah.
But and then getting sick on top of it. I've been a little out of it. But
well, the Snark Bulls are here for you. That's what you should know. And it's very sweet because they all said that they are so happy that we talk about real life as well as our magnificent documentary.
Well, I do think it is good to acknowledge, you know, it reminds me of doing stand-up in that, like, when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
Maybe a joke doesn't hit or something. It's always good to acknowledge what's really going on, because if you ignore it, then it just makes the audience and people feel crazy. And it, I think, translates into just everything. You just have to acknowledge what's going on and set yourself and everyone else at ease and just be like, this is happening and life isn't stopping, but we are having to, as we've talked about on here, continue with our lives. Sometimes these are pre-recorded, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're so pre-recorded and we sound insane because
we're just laughing about
somebody
that wears weird leggings and it's like, oh, the asteroid just hit.
Yeah, just something happened. And so sometimes it takes a beat for everything to catch up with real life.
Yeah.
And then we will acknowledge real life when we record
when
again.
We need to.
But thank you to all of our listeners for being there. It has been just a weird road, but that is how the road goes.
That's life. Mm-hmm. No choice. Are you ready to get into this?
I am, as long as you don't wander off.
I'm not going to. I'm going to stay completely focused today.
Because I always do.
You are always right on track. Mm-hmm. Oh, that does remind me of a really beautiful song.
What?
Right on Time by Carlisle. What's her first name?
Brandi Carlisle?
Yes. Is that the best song you've ever heard in your life?
She's good. She's real.
But it was right on time.
Well, you're ruined welcome. It.
No, I elevated it.
Okay. We can send her a clip and just see how she feels.
Well, let's do them like, we'll hear her version and then my version and we'll see.
Maybe Mr. Thomas can put that together for the end of this episode.
That would be,
we can do it side by side, and then maybe he can combine the audio so it's on top of each other, like you're harmonizing. I'm just throwing out options here.
This is a great idea. Today, Tig, we're talking about Man on Wire.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back for this one. We went back. Mm. Man on Wire is a 2008 documentary directed by James Marsh. It tells the story of Philippe Petit, a high wire walker who dreamt of walking between the twin towers of the World Trade Center, which also was like, oh God, just seeing the twin towers.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did this in the 70s, and it features reenactments as well as interviews from Philippe and his collaborators. Man on Wire debuted at Sundance and would go on to win the Academy Award for Best Documentary. Oh.
Oh, you didn't know that. There's no way to know.
There was no way to know that until just this moment. In 2009.
Clearly, we don't review our outlines before we... First of all, clearly we don't write our outlines.
No.
Clearly.
We don't write them. We don't look at them until that very
moment.
If
we ever do. Now, did you see this movie?
Before? Yes, I did. Did you?
I only saw half of it.
Oh, why?
I think I wandered off into the forest.
Well, I mean, at some point you kind of get it, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, if you're watching Philippe in the interview, you're like...
Philippe Petit.
Philippe Petit.
Would that be Philip Small over here?
Tiny Philip?
Tiny Philip.
Philip Small. Philippe Petit. I mean, I hope I'm saying it. That sounds right, right?
Who cares?
Nope.
I still can't believe... You stop yourself sometimes and say, am I saying it right? I hope I'm saying it right.
I mean, my intention is to get it right. Mm. And if you know how the right way to do it, I would love to hear it.
Me, personally?
Yes.
Well, first of all, it's printed in front of us, but we just watched a movie where they said it.
Said it 1,000 times. And by the way, when I was listening... I was like, I've got to remember this because I'm going to have to say it. And then I sure don't. I sure don't.
Philippe Petit? Is that right? I don't know. I've never heard the name in my life.
Philippe Petit. Petit. No, it can't be Petit. It can't be Petit. No,
small
it's
got to
be Petit.
Petit Petit?
Tiny. Oh, God. I hope the filmmakers are listening.
Hey, filmmakers. Hey.
Hey. Okay, Philippe Petit is a charismatic Frenchman.
What?
Who, I don't know.
They're all charismatic, I feel like.
And Frenchmen.
But I'm saying French people are all charismatic.
Oh, you're saying all French
people
are.
Well, because the accent.
Yeah, they do. They all seem like they know much more than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And charismatic. Where you're charismatic. Like, oh, look at you.
Sir.
Where did you learn French? Oh, right. We're in Paris.
So French.
Well, I had a friend when I was little in Mississippi named Juju. And Juju would come over and hang out, and she was a girl. She must have been one of my early influences, but we were just pals, like maybe 4 years old. Just ran around with no shirt on.
That's interesting because we had a girl that lived by us. I forget what nationality she was. And she also was topless a lot.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa.
And swimming and just running around.
That was just the norm.
I was like, yeah. And so, you know, when I had to get my petite tits removed, I was like, all right, off they go. Okay. And then.
This is the new me.
Yeah. And then Stephanie and I, when we went on our honeymoon, we went to, why am I forgetting where we went?
It doesn't matter.
Thomas, do you know where we went? St. Bart's.
St. Bart's.
Thank you. It was a special time.
I'll never forget it.
It really was. But it was so funny because, you know, just littered with French people there in St. Bart's.
Yeah.
And we were eating, Stephanie and I were eating right by the, on the beach, by the water. And this woman, we laughed so hard. We were like choking, laughing. This woman was full-grown woman. Full-blown topless, pulls up on her sailboat with just a bikini bottom on and just boobs for days, okay? Uh-huh. Was like wrapping up the sail, and like just like moving, just like working so hard, and like everything was jiggling around. And it was like, it was so hilarious how much it was nothing to her, or anyone else around. And Stephanie and I were like, oh my gosh. We were, I mean, and to this day, we reenact that moment often.
I like that she's just getting her work done.
She's just getting her work done and wrapping that rope around and just moving this and pushing that and dragging this over. And we were like, wow.
Nude beaches are I don't know. I can't relax.
This wasn't a nude beach. This was just
this
like,
was just like the marina. She just pulled into the marina and she's
just
tying
like,
up the sails.
I got to tie up my boat. And she wasn't like, you know,
she wasn't thinking
like
twice
about it.
Like a
dykey woman. She was just like a lady that had to get some business done and didn't have a shirt on. But what, you've gone to a lot of nudist?
No, not a lot. But, and I didn't mean to, but what I just remember. Well, there's a, I went to Hawaii once and I.
Oop, wrong turn.
I mean, I'm just swimming around, minding my beeswax, and this man is completely naked, like 3 feet away
from
me.
Are you sure it was a nudist beach or just a pervert wandering around?
Maybe it was, yeah. It could have been. There weren't that many people there, but I was like, I just didn't trust the tide. You know what I mean? I felt like this guy was one wave away from just rubbing his junk on me in the water. Anyway.
We have to take a break.
No, we can't. Oh my God, we have to take a break. We haven't even told you what this documentary is about.
Didn't we?
Well, I read. Yeah, I read.
There's no way to know. We'll have to rewind what we've recorded to see if we mentioned.
If we mentioned this documentary at all. Okay, when we get back, we're really going to get to it.
Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And we are back.
We're back.
On Tig and Cheryl, true story. Apologies if this is your first time listening to the show, but this is how the show is. What were you going to say, Cheryl?
I was going to say, I'm going to tell you what it's about.
Okay.
Oh, so Philippe Petit was living in France, and he loved to walk on high wires.
Yes.
He also loved to ride around on unicycles, mm-hmm. which I don't.
It's very French.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't
like,
a
unicycle. You don't like a man on a unicycle.
Man, I don't know about.
What if I rode my unicycle over to your house?
I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
It always feels like, I don't know, there's something about the way they go forward and backward and forward and backward and they. I just don't like it. It's it's unsettling.
You mean because of private parts?
No, just because like.
Because they might fall.
They never put their feet down.
Yeah.
They don't put their feet down like a bike, like when you come to a stop.
They
and
balance.
Put your feet down. Yeah, they balance. So it's always like they never stop and they're like forward and backward.
Thanks
on that
for
one.
The act out.
On the one dumb wheel. Okay.
But you wouldn't be kind of impressed if I unicycled all Mm-mm. the way to your house from my house.
You're
and
on the 4 or 5 on
you and didn't even check to see if you were home.
I would love that you're riding around in LA on the freeway on a unicycle. Oh God.
Headphones on.
Tig. Mm. Okay, here we go. So this guy. Philippe Petit.
Mm-hmm.
He loved high wires.
How do you say?
How does one say high wires?
Not like that.
And he has a team with him,
mm-hmm.
which fascinates me. because we see this in these documentaries. There's like one crazy person and then a supportive group around that crazy person that's like, yeah, let's do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it felt familiar, especially that mountain climbing movie.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. I wish we could remember the name of it. It was a good one. Like the rock
free solo. Free solo. Which that, actually Mr. Thomas and I went and saw in the theater.
Oh,
together.
Memories. Yeah. It did feel like that because you had this one person who said, I can do it. Mm. And everybody else was like,
and a girl that
don't.
Loved him.
Yeah.
And if one slightly wrong step, death.
Falls to his death. And the same with Philippe. So Philippe gets this team together. Jean-Louis is Philip's closest collaborator. And there's also Jean-Francois. Mm-hmm. And then there's David, also known as Donald. I don't understand that.
Not our business.
Did you understand that one? My name is David, but please call me Donald. And then there's Alan, who's also known as Albert. Mm-hmm. I found that very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't care.
I just didn't. I was like, you're weird. You're like, I'm moving on. I don't have time for this.
You only have time for
I
that.
Do. That's I have time. Thing. I've been sick.
And then there was Annie. I like that she's just described as a French woman. So we see footage of the World Center, Trade Center being built in the 70s. And Philippe just dreamed as soon as he heard that those were going to be the tallest buildings. What, in the U.S.? In the U.S.
In the world, right?
In the world? In the world.
I mean, don't rely on me for anything, but I think it was in the world.
Thomas is nodding.
Okay.
He decided even before they were built, what I need to do is tightrope across those buildings in New York City. Mm-hmm. And that he became obsessed with it.
And I really loved in that moment the way that like a dream and a passion is born and how it's like staring you down in life.
Yeah.
You know? And
it just becomes this real thing.
Yeah, that you have to do.
He has to do it.
But I mean, don't you relate to that? I mean, I would assume with acting or whatever it is, once I saw stand-up as an option in my life, it was like,
I
got
to
climb this mountain.
Yeah. No, I guess that is right with acting. Yeah. But it wasn't so specific as, oh, I've got to do this role in this play. You know what I mean? Although I would like to do Streetcar Named Desire, but I think I've aged out.
You could be the streetcar.
I could be the streetcar. But honestly, if that had stayed my dream, I think I could have.
Do you know what you might find interesting?
Tell me.
The Pontchartrain Hotel on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That hotel is where
Stella.
What's his name? Wrote the.
Marlon Brando. Oh. Wrote the play?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's his name?
Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams.
Right?
Stayed there and wrote that. And my grandmother lived next door to the hotel. And when I would spend my summers in New Orleans, she had a standing reservation at the Pontchartrain Hotel. Oh. And that's where we would go every night for dinner.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
And I would take the little
Man on Wire, but it's...
Well, you mentioned Streetcar Named Desire.
Right, which also has zero to do with Man on...
Well, of course. And this podcast has nothing to do with anything. But... I'm just saying, I used to take
that
the little streetcar up and down St. Charles Avenue as a small
did you
child.
Yell, Stella. No. Okay. Okay. So back to Philippe. Mm-hmm. So the biggest, after Philippe decided this is what I want to do, then he had to figure out how to do it. So he had to figure out how to get to New York, how to get to the World Trade Center, how to get to the top of the World Trade Center, how to figure out how to get a tightrope from one building to the other.
It's insane.
It's insane.
It reminds me of building tunnels. Like, and so bridges.
I know.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Are there documentaries on building tunnels and bridges? Because I mean that genuinely.
I would think that there would be at this point in time.
I want to see them. Please write in or call in now to Tig and Cheryl True Story and tell me about a good documentary or series or something.
Bridge or tunnel.
I just think it's fast, like underwater tunnels.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand.
We're not smart enough to know that. I'm barely smart enough to drive through the tunnel.
It is. Who is born? It's like Elon Musk, right? Born with that. Did I tell you about my moment with Elon Musk?
No, but please go on.
Also doesn't have anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. But he is quite in the news these days. I was at a kids' party when Kat was little.
Congrats.
So this was probably...
I'm assuming Kat was at the party?
Kat was at the party. Okay. This is probably like 12 years ago. Okay. You know, 11 years ago.
Today?
This is the anniversary of this story.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I pull up to this party. This is in LA, keep in mind, right? And there's this guy with this beautiful car. Mm-hmm. I pull up right behind him and he gets out and I'm like, wow, your car is so beautiful. Do you just love driving that Tesla?
Good question.
And he said, yeah, I do. You know, and then we went inside and then the guy who was throwing the party, we were talking. I said, oh, I just saw the most beautiful car. And he goes, oh yeah, that's Elon Musk. That's his car. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's cool. And he goes, no, this is his car company. This is his car. I was like, oh, that's, now I feel foolish. Mm-hmm. So I circle back to Elon during the party. And I said, well, now I feel foolish because I didn't realize that this is your company. And of course you love driving that car because you designed it.
Yeah.
And then he started talking. We started talking. And the next thing I know, he's telling me that he wants to colonize the moon. And I'm like, just to be clear that I know what you're saying, are you saying that you want people to go up there and live up there? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. And then we talked about how did you know that you knew so much more than your teachers? At some point, mm-hmm. when he's in his science class, he must be going, oh, brother, mm-hmm. this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, yeah, it was pretty early on. It was just fascinating, you know, talking to Elon Musk at a kid's party.
Sure. And so he's like, we're just going to trash this planet. Then we're going to go up and live elsewhere.
Well, we never got into the details about that.
Mm-hmm. That's my big concern is like, are humans just going to like planet hop and moon hop and just
trash everything.
What are we doing?
Oh, God. You know what? We're gonna circle back to Man on Wire.
Okay.
Okay. We're not going to worry about the fate of mankind.
No, why would we?
Mm-mm. So, oh, my gosh.
Let's take a break and we will come back.
We'll come back and really hunker down. Okay.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yeah. And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story, talking about Man on Wire sometimes.
So Philippe, he had to figure out how to get information about the World Trade Center and the towers. So in order for Philippe to figure out how to rig the wire, he would have to do sort of spy work and figure out how to sneak into the towers. And this is how he did it.
Nice.
So at some point, I am so much into taking notes as a spy around the towers, I don't see, it's a construction site, I don't see one nail sticking out of one plank. So right there, the big nail goes through my soul. 3 days in bed. So here I am with crutches, thinking I am incapacitated. No, it's the opposite. It's wonderful, a human being with crutches, the universe is his. The guards, you know, help me, can I help you? Let me hold the door. The people, you know, sit down, take your time. Nobody asked me for an ID, nobody says, what are you doing here? I have, it's fabulous. So then now, even though my feet is about to be repaired, I use the crutches a lot. Okay, and sometimes you would see the man leaving his crutches and running around to measure something and coming back and being with crutches.
I mean, top-notch disguise.
Well, this is good for us to know, because we always talk about how we would go up in disguise if we murdered someone. I'm not sure why we... why we're running from...
Why are we on a murder spree?
Yeah, but the things that we would do, and your plan has always been to gain a lot of weight, which doesn't...
I think that would work.
But I like the crutches idea.
You know, it's funny, speaking of crutches, my first girlfriend, she was more confident publicly than I was with being out and proud. So she would always grab my hand or like put her arm around me. And anytime she did that, I would always limp.
So it would look like she was holding you up and she had to do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it would make her laugh. But I really was not
uncomfortable.
I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm going to have to just limp. So we'd have a cackle, but that's how we would comfortably walk around holding hands.
When I am in a car with someone and they're driving crazy and I feel like we're about to get into a car crash, I go limp, because I heard or read somewhere, that if you're in a car crash, like people that are drunk or something.
If you're tense, worse. You get worse.
So I just, if I feel like, oh, this is it, I'll just go limp. So sometimes when I'm driving with someone, they'll go, go limp, go limp.
Well, this didn't really have anything to do with anything except for crashing. But I was a kid and I was on a flight, I would ask the flight attendant for extra pillows. And I would put my tray down in front of me and I'd put pillows on the tray in case we crashed. And
it's
not a
bad idea.
Well, except that the tray is probably going to decapitate me. But then my forehead will be softly landing into pillows. It'll decapitate me, and then it'll just my head will gently rest in the pillows. And that's just assuming we crash forward. You know?
Yes.
That we're not spinning out of control or exploding. You know what I mean? It's a very controlled crash.
The way that you think.
But it's like the crash test dummies that you would see in commercials that would like crash forward.
Yeah, and they're little
wooden
bodies.
Which also reminds me of the band Crash Test Dummies. Do you remember them?
I do, and I really liked them.
I did too.
They had that voice. What's really one of their songs? Well, what's the rest of it?
That's all they wrote.
The humming song. Okay. Okay. So Philippe Petit... You know, so when he's even up there with his crutches, I mean, he is standing on the edge of the roof of one of these World Trade Centers.
Yes.
On one leg. It was insane. Did you find it insane?
Like, I found the whole thing insane. I mean, I'm scared of heights.
Imagine doing a handstand on the roof of the World Trade Center.
Cheryl,
Can you do a handstand on the ground?
I prefer to not stay on high, high floors of hotels.
Really?
Yeah, because I think, oh, if there's an emergency, I don't want to be stuck up high. Mm, I want to be able to at least have a chance
get out
on the second or third floor.
But you never get to see the view.
Listen, I'll find another way. I'll look at a picture. Yeah, but I have a fear when I am in a high, high room and I walk out on my balcony.
Yes.
I cannot hang out on my balcony. You know why?
Why? A gust of wind.
Because someone is for sure hiding in the closet or under the bed and they're going to toss me over the balcony.
Wow. You think that has to do with a past life?
No, I don't believe in that. Oh.
What do you think it has to do with? Is it? Do you think that's a rational fear? Like, do you think?
Oh, it's so irrational.
Yeah, because a lot has to happen for that to happen. Somebody has to be waiting in your room.
Somebody has to be planning to do my worst fear and find out.
Can't wait to do it.
Find out I'm in town, what hotel I'm in. And now that I'm announcing this publicly, the odds are going to go up a little bit. No, so it's even less likely I'll be on a high up balcony.
Yeah. Well, you know what I have a fear of? Mm-hmm. It's very different. And this is makes more sense. I have a fear of when I'm walking by like a gutter, a drain on a street, that I'm just going to drop my keys in it. Even if I'm not holding my keys, I'm like, oh my God, my keys. I'm going to drop my keys down that gutter and then I'm going to be fucked. Do you ever have that fear?
No, not once.
Even by like sometimes you go by the open grates. I'm like, there go my keys.
Yeah.
Today's the day that's going to happen.
I don't ever have that concern.
Mm. Well, I never have the concern about somebody hiding under my bed pushing me off the balcony.
We all have our stuff, right?
I do. Okay, Tig.
Yeah?
Annie fell in love with Philippe. Mm-hmm. She was 20 years old.
How old was he?
Oh, he was in his mid-20s. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she would watch him shirtless practice on the wire that he rigged up in his backyard for hours. Did that seem, not weird. We all have our, like you said. I mean, do I want to watch a shirtless dude on a wire?
You know, oddly, I related to it. I felt like, not related, but I felt like in that moment, I don't know. I like weird, interesting people, you know? And I could see myself before knowing that I'm gay, meeting a really interesting guy like this and getting into
just being like, I get you, man. I'm going to watch you for hours on that high wire.
It's not even that I get you. It's just like, whoa, just seeing somebody do something so specific and weird and excel at it. I could see
being
just taken by
enthralled.
Them.
Enthralled.
And just wanting to watch them do it and succeed. And because there's so many little failures in those moments of falling off the wire and just being like, whoa.
Let's go in the backyard and high wire.
Truly.
One of the things that I found interesting is his feet. I mean, we never got to see his feet, but we did see close-ups of his
bunions. I bet he doesn't have bunions. I bet he's got serious
like
foot and toe health claws. Going on. Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking. Like he must have like his toe, like he
for
wears
sure.
certain little
ballet slippers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it seems like it gives him enough room in that slipper to grab on with his toes. Is that what you were getting?
Of course it
but
does.
But did you want to see his toes? Because I'm like, does he have calluses?
No,
because
I can picture perfect feet and I'm certain he has them. Because the more your feet move, the bones, muscles, everything is moving.
Yeah.
The more
healthy.
Just good looking and strong.
Toes and feet.
Yeah. And I bet he has got some of the best looking feet. I bet Mr. Thomas is searching for his feet online.
Thomas can't find a pic. Sort of disturbing because it reminds me of our penguin movie. What was that called? March of the Penguins. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't find a picture of the penguin penis because they don't have penises.
I can't suggest that episode enough to listeners if you haven't listened.
Yeah, it is. It is something.
March of the Penguin.
We really broke it down in a very
highbrow.
Highbrow is the word.
Highbrow manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In France, Philippe constructs an elaborate scale model. Okay, now the big question is how to get the wire across the top of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And so, did you find it a little homoerotic at some point during the bow and arrow part where yes. Philippe is now jumping on the back of the other guy, piggyback style, and they're both shirtless.
And what's wrong with homoerotic?
Nothing. I'm just saying, took a turn.
Sounds like you got a problem with homoerotic
I
stuff.
I just am
Guess
saying.
What?
I,
your co-host and friend is a homo.
I just didn't see it coming because.
Homeowner.
A homeowner. I didn't see it coming because, you know, the whole Anne. Is it Anne or Annie? That he's so in love with Anne.
Annie.
I just didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. The boys running around the field. Like tickling each other. It's not
cut and dry,
no.
Nor is gender.
No, nor should it be. It's like, let's be who we want to be.
If you want to jump on your buddy's back and run around.
Like giggling, then do it.
Do it.
And get it
Don't
on camera.
Don't let Cheryl's issue with homoerotic behavior stop you.
Okay, so listen. So now let's skip to the final day.
Okay.
They get there. I mean, they really like to go into, oh, this was terrifying. There were people there, the security guard.
Not known for her accents.
Oh, we were so scared. I didn't think it was going to happen. Oh, and then at some point, one of the guys did the bow and arrow with the wire across the thing. But then Philippe couldn't find the wire because it was so dark. So for some reason, he took off all of his clothes and walked around because he thought the wire would touch his body somewhere. And he wanted to be ready for it.
Well, you got to be ready for it.
I guess it worked.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're ever in doubt, just take off your clothes and, you know, get in touch with the universe and it'll come to you.
On a unicycle. Can you think of anything weirder?
Than a naked man on a unicycle?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. If he was juggling. I also don't like juggling on a unicycle.
Do you like juggling just standing on the ground?
It's okay.
You're not taken by it? Like, wow.
Mm-mm.
Do you like magic?
It goes on too long.
Do you like fun?
Do you like juggling?
I do. I wish I could do it.
Mm.
My son Max thinks he can.
I think if you practice, if you put a 10,000 hours into it,
dollars
you could
into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you could hire. I'm sure there's somebody you could hire to teach you how to juggle.
Thomas, can you juggle?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I feel like no. Thomas can juggle, and I think he's shown my sons how to.
Oh, God. Well, I don't mean to offend you. It's adorable. It's just kind of like when somebody's playing the piano in the living room and they want you to keep watching them while they play. And it's like, oh, I see it. I hear it. Do I have to keep watching you the whole song or can I do it? Okay.
Can I do other things?
So finally, this is it. Mm-hmm. Now, dawn has come. The one thing that I was shocked at was that Philippe wore sort of bell bottoms. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, at one point and one angle, it looked like a long gown.
It did.
Where I was like, interesting choice, my friend.
So he's wearing all black and he's at the top of the towers. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a moody day. It was misty and everything. And Annie was there at the bottom.
Yeah, she always is.
Annie. Oh. And then we have to say what happens right after because that kind of made me mad. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he goes and he's walking. Now he is out on the wire. By the way, this is hard for people to see from the ground. It just looks like a little dot. Yeah. But, you know, so he had to have Annie down there going, look.
Yeah,
there's a man on the wire at the top of the...
Cheryl, please don't. Please don't.
And then people were fascinated and it drew crowds and then the police came and they were all like ready to arrest him when he got off of the wire, and he just had a ball up there for 45 minutes. He laid down on the wire, which I don't understand. I really don't understand how he did it.
Do you think you could make it across the wire without falling?
I think
you had little shoes on.
If I had those shoes and the long pole that you hold.
For sure, you could make it across.
I think I have a 20% chance of making it. Do you think you could make it?
No.
Not 1%? Not 1%?
I'm scared of heights.
I know, but you don't have a choice. In this scenario, you have to walk across this wire.
Then I would grab the wire by my paws.
No.
And I would...
try to crawl on the wire? That's worse.
No, I would dangle and I'd
scoot
across.
Oh, my God. Do you think your upper body strength is enough for you to get across a wire from tower?
No, and nor are my feet strengths or leg strengths or mental strengths.
There's not 1% of you that you think you could get across the wire if you had to with that long pole?
No, I think I would step on the wire and whoop, there she goes. Bye-bye.
Oh, God, my heart is racing just thinking about this.
That's why I thought it kind of made sense that he was wearing a floor-length gown. Because I thought if he falls and the wind would...
be dramatic and beautiful.
No, like the wind would catch it like an umbrella.
He
would slowly...
like so Mary Poppins?
Yeah, I'd wear a floor-length gown.
And then you would fall immediately and your gown would fly open and all of New York would see you gently drift to the bottom.
Yes. Aww. And then just gently crash into a pillow. I would take a running start because I would know I wouldn't make it across the wire. And I would just take a running start and just run with a parachute on.
With a parachute gown. So at some point, he gets across.
Gets arrested.
They take him. They take all of his support group. And they arrest them. And they wanted to know why.
One of the worst crimes you've ever seen in that city. Especially during the 70s.
During the 70s. And he was charged for trespassing and...
man on wire.
And man on wire.
Hence title.
Yes. They dropped the charges. However, the poor guys that helped him... were banned from America, never allowed to come in again. Meanwhile, Philippe became like a local
star
or worldwide, I guess, celebrity. Okay, but can we talk about what happened immediately?
Yes, girl. Yes. Give them the tea.
Here's what happened that really made me mad. So as soon as he gets out of prison or whatever, he gets a what are they called? A groupie. Like a beautiful young groupie that's like, hey, I love what you did. Do you want to come to my place?
Hey, Philippe Petit. Hey.
Hey, Philippe Petit. And he goes to her place. And then he says it was a waterbed, which I thought was an alarming detail that he didn't need to mention.
It's so interesting the different levels of water people have in their waterbeds. Some where you sit down and it's like swish, swish, swish. And others where you lie down and it's
just like a gentle, or it's like it's too full and you're just kind of sitting on top like what's supposed to be happening. But they're always.
When's the last time you.
I was on a waterbed.
Or just that you even it came up in your life. There's...
Well, did I tell you that the guys in college, that the guys upstairs, did I tell you this story?
I don't know.
Well, the point is, I was in my apartment, all of a sudden water is coming through all of the light sockets. And I go upstairs, knock on the door. I'm like, hey, guys, what's going on? And their apartment is like 4 inches in water. And he's like, my waterbed burst. I said, that's not okay. all of our stuff is getting wet. You know, they ruined everything we had. We didn't have a lot at that point in time. And everything got moldy.
Is that where renter's insurance comes in? Or
yeah, probably. Who has renter's insurance in college?
I did.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't go to college, but
you've always whenever had renter's insurance.
I would get renter's insurance.
Well, it's smart, especially people have waterbed. We took him to small claims court. We won.
Oh. Were you on Judge Judy or anything like that?
I wish. Because do you think we ever saw one dime of it?
I don't know. I don't know if that's where the beginning of your wealth.
Well, if I ask you in that tone, do you think that we did?
I don't know. I'm not good at picking up on cues like that. Did you get a lot of money?
No.
Oh.
Tig, we got nothing. We got nothing.
Okay. I didn't know if it was the beginning of your life story that would lead to socializing with Elon Musk. I don't know.
Okay, so anyway, he got down with this girl on a waterbed.
Hello.
Oh, they made national headlines. And then he just became a star, I guess, a celebrity.
Yeah.
And I guess he and Annie broke up, and Annie was like, he was just meant to be for that time in life.
Oh, my God.
And then John Louis.
We're going to get hate mail from
French folk.
French I'm folks. In a movie. I shot a movie that has not come out yet. Okay. It was filmed in Mexico City, and I had to play a French person. Oh, boy. We'll see how that goes.
With an accent?
Yes. Oui, oui.
Oh. Well, you should have been doing it this whole time.
Unless I'm not good at it.
Well, we could have been the judge.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of judges, here's my gavel.
Gavel. She has a gavel in her office. Okay. Anyway, that's basically it. John Louis was weeping as he remembered that moment.
Jean-Louis.
Oh, thank you. He said it was just a magical moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically...
Credits roll.
Roll credits. That's basically it. Tig, are you ready for our final thoughts?
I am.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
No. Who are you attracted to?
I feel like I'm always attracted to 70s looking people. So I like that vibe. So
any of them when they were in the 70s.
Yeah. But I would probably even say petite.
Philippe?
Yeah. I would even say like just because he was doing something so interesting and weird. Yeah. Not now.
Right. But why not now? He's probably still walking the wire.
Because he didn't have a 70s look anymore.
Mm.
I like
the long sideburns.
Yeah, I like that.
The hair.
Yeah. Remember that a band called Death? Remember how I was like, yes. Oh, I like their vibe. You like their that. Look. I like the 70s look.
The 70s.
Especially with men.
It was like relaxed.
Yeah.
It was like relaxed. And they were like, yeah, I wear bell bottoms. Don't worry about
it. I'm playing tennis with a sweatband on my head.
And real short shorts.
Yeah.
I think I liked, I thought it was Slim Pickens.
Well, I'm not saying what's his face was my dreamboat of all time.
Philippe, I like that you don't even remember his name after an entire podcast.
Tiny Phil.
Tiny Phil. I think I liked Jean-Louis was sweet.
Yeah.
The one that
he's emotional.
Wept. He's emotional. I enjoyed his vulnerability.
Yeah, but you don't like when men
cry. Not really.
And here you're falling in love with a guy that's crying through the whole movie.
No, he wasn't. Don't you dare do that to him. He had a moment.
He had a couple of moments. I don't have a problem with
he
it.
Did.
I'm
he
not
did
uncomfortable happen. When men cry. You are.
You're really pointing fingers and angry.
Well.
Okay, Tig.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch on Netflix. Tig, would you like to do some true fan mail real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is from Andy McD.
Hey, Andy McDowell. Hey.
It's not Andy McD. It might be. We don't know.
It is.
I'm a 51-year-old single gay man. It's probably not Andy McDowell. that lived with a lesbian couple in the early 90s. We got our hands on a copy of Madonna's sex book and decided to keep it in the entry of our apartment. We put a card over the cutout title on the oversized metal cover that said, guest book. We asked every single guest at our house to sign it before they left. It was truly amazing how everyone stayed a while to quietly page through the whole thing. And then they all carefully chose the page and specific area of that page that they wanted to sign. Everyone clearly enjoyed it, but also took it very seriously. The entries were all incredibly witty and creative. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Many years later, it's still fun to look at, almost like a high school yearbook, but even better because it's full of multiple Madonna Merkins. I mean, does everyone know what a Merkin is?
I think you've talked about it on the show, but...
Well, we'll just... I'm going to remind
here
listeners.
Here we go. She loves, like talking about Merkins.
It's a pubic wig. And I do love Merkins. Okay. I'm addicted to you both and want you to get a VRBO in Florida with Cheryl and then invite Tig to my cute house in Minneapolis. Let's do it.
Oh. Wow. I love how at the end it just wrapped it all up of like, this sounds like, fun.
Yeah, call we're me. Doing it. We're doing it, guys. That is very sweet. Thank you, Andy McD.
Well, Andy McD it is. I don't know if realistically we're going to do any of that.
Yes,
but it's... what I found interesting that I kept waiting to come around again was the fact that he's a gay man that lived with a lesbian couple.
In the early 90s.
Yeah. It never came around again.
No. That was just some color commentary.
Yep. Love it. Well, thanks, Andy.
Okay. That's nice. I do love that. Okay. Brooke M. writes, Hey, Brooke M. Hey. First of all, the podcast was my favorite gym listen. Thankfully, I have a home gym because the hoarse laughter would have been mortifying in a public environment. After too many instances of laughing so hard, I almost fell over while working out or of dropping weights, including onto my foot not once but twice, or not twice but three times. Wow. Ooh. I've had to take my listening down to a more serious route. Don't worry. I still listen, but never while carrying something more than 5 pounds. In all seriousness, the podcast brings me joy and laughter. I'm a hospice nurse, and I spend a lot of time driving from home to home to spend time with families in their worst days. Listening to the podcast during my drive helps me reset my mind and my soul. With my career, which I love with every piece of my being, my job is bad news. Telling people, mom won't make it through the night, your spouse won't wake up again, it's time to say your final goodbyes to your daughter. But also, there is a beauty in grief. Oh, gosh. I got to keep it together. Okay. This is very beautiful. I am blessed to be invited on this journey and to become a little part of these families, even if for a short time. Okay. Let me breathe. I mean, I can't think of a more amazing job.
Yeah.
Than to be a hospice worker. Okay.
I can't believe what people do with their lives.
Okay. I'm going to... take a deep breath. I'm going to get through this. Listening to the Bad Vegan episode and hearing Tig explain in a heartbreaking and raw way, the waves of grief stuck with me. So I guess I'm writing to say thank you for being vulnerable and putting the reality of loss into such honest words. Grief is sometimes viewed as a flat surface, but it is fluid and it means different things at different times. And sometimes we are able to find joy and gratitude in grief. Thank you for sharing Cowboy Rick with all of us. Thanks to both of you for the laughs during the times I really need one. And no thanks for the bruises from making me laugh hard enough to hurt myself. Brooke.
Brooke.
Oof. Oh my gosh. I gotta take a second.
An incredible email.
Whew. I mean,
I really, even before this email came in, but especially with this email coming in, I can't believe that people do this job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, healthcare workers and hospice nurses. And I was so thankful, you know, my situation, it really crept up on me with losing Rick. And, mm-hmm. you know, just we had plans to go to our cousin's wedding in Mississippi, and we mm-hmm. had plans for brunch, and we had all of this, and I had no idea he was going to die. And those people, hospice nurses and nurses and doctors with mm-hmm. the kindness that they oftentimes have, that you hope that they have,
it's such a gift.
It that, really that is.
People cannot even imagine.
It really is, because you're in such a vulnerable moment with your parent or your whoever it is, your loved one, and you're having this moment where you're just like on your knees, you're devastated, you're crying, you're saying your last thoughts and sentences with this person that, I mean, Rick raised me since I was 2. I mean, yeah. Ups and downs with this man. And having to create a place and space that you're comfortable enough to have those moments when somebody's coming in and out or helping you with making them comfortable. And I remember one of the nurses, you know, it just was such a little moment. But like, if you knew Rick, he's not somebody you would do this to in any other moment. But she came up and she just rubbed his chest and said, Hey, Mr. Rick, Tig's here. And I just loved that moment because he just was not somebody you would rub his chest. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just loved that she did that, you know? Yeah. But that was a really beautiful email. And I'm so thankful for the work that she does. And I'm so thankful for the work that so many people do that I could never do. And I roll my eyes when people say they could never do what I do, because it is the easiest job in the world to do a podcast, to watch a movie and make jokes with a friend, or fly to a cool or city or tiny town and walk around and get a latte and then go find a vegan restaurant and tell jokes at night. I have an incredible life, and it's the easiest job in the world. It really is.
Well, but you know, you do something that, I mean, the fact that you can communicate with people. So even our listeners, they, I think, really value that you can put into words how you're feeling and what you're going through, because I think it's difficult, and that you're willing to share that with so many people because it's such a personal situation. It's valuable, and it's more than just, you know, telling jokes.
I know that, and I appreciate that. And I have to say, it wasn't until the pandemic that I truly understood when people would say, oh, you helped me through a time, or oh, mm-hmm. and I would just kind of take it in casually and say, oh, I'm so glad, thanks. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, you make my drive to work easier. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I might even still just respond with, oh, thanks. But I know now. And it really did take the pandemic for me to really understand that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but anyway, to go back to Brooke, I'm so thankful, and I'm so thankful for all of the Brooks out there.
Yeah. I mean, I had an experience with a hospice. My stepfather also died. Not my stepfather Phil, who's around, but my stepfather Dan died in our living room with mm-hmm. hospice. And it was, I thought about the workers all the time, because I mean, you're going to work and you know what the outcome is, and you show up, and I don't know how they do it, it feels like they understand the world a little better than most of us.
Yeah.
So thank you
truly
to all of you. Oof. Whoa. Well, we love our snorkels. That's all I have to say.
We really do.
And I mean, I don't want to end on a, it's not a sad note.
It's, no, it's like, just it's, a note. It's a
celebration of each other, of all of us. Mm-hmm. But thank you for listening, you guys. And thank you for connecting with us. And we feel your support.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And I can sense when a snorkel is out there in the audience when I'm on tour.
You get the snorkel energy coming in?
I do.
All right, guys.
Cheryl, should we do it again?
Yeah. Let's do it again. Either way, I lose you in these silent. Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kopasich and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at TigandCherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.